this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers! This is episode 80, and for those of you who are new to the show, this is actually my first episode in a year and a half. I retired the show in, fall 2018, when my daughter had just started kindergarten, and that's my daughter who I had postpartum depression with, and when my son had started preschool. And I have felt very good about the decision to retire the show. It was a decision that I had to, it created a lot of space for me to do a lot of personal growth. I'm not going to waste time going into that right now because, hello, there's a pandemic. I'm recording this on Saturday, March 28th, 2020, from my home studio. By home studio, I mean the top of the chest of drawers I share with my husband, which is currently pitted out with all of his work shit because he's been working from home for 2 weeks. And we live in Pasadena, California still, and we are currently under orders to shelter at home. I forget if it's until April 18th or April 19th, and my daughter's school is closed until the first Monday in May. And, you know, and as you all know, probably, things just change every day right now. So that's all we can do is take it one day at a time and whole ass shit ton of uncertainty out there. But I felt really called to do a special pandemic episode for all of those new moms and dads. And by new mom and dad, maybe you're 8 months pregnant, or maybe you are, you have a one-year-old. But just for anyone who might be dealing with postpartum depression right now, and the official phrase is postpartum depression, but that includes anxiety, OCD, you know, all of the maternal mood disorders, and shit, I hate using the word maternal, because it's really parental, because dads get this too, and adoptive parents, it's not purely biological. So anyway, I felt called to do a special pandemic episode, because I, at least once, if not several times a day, just think, well, shit, how would I have done postpartum depression if this had been happening, if I had been dealing with a pandemic on top of postpartum depression? Because I had my daughter Pippa in March 2013. So, oh my gosh, she just turned 7. So this time, 7 years ago, I was falling deeper and deeper into depression, anxiety, and some fun OCD rituals. And I've told all that story many times before, so I won't repeat it. But I didn't have a pandemic that I was dealing with. And I know life is not a competition, and it's not who has it worse, who has more stress, but my heart is really going out to all of you right now with little babies at home, or who are expecting babies, or even those of you who are dealing with fertility issues and your fertility treatments are on hold. Those of you who just had a miscarriage and you just don't even really know, like, you have that grief on top of all of the weirdness happening with the pandemic. I see you, I feel for you, and my heart aches, so I felt like I had to do this episode. By the way, I haven't done this in a year and a half. I still remembered how to start recording an episode, but I don't know if I still have my fancy intro music saved on this computer. It's the same old laptop for, God, I think, like, going on 6 years now. So I should be able to find it, but if I didn't find it, and if this was just sort of like a cold intro, like we just started, sorry about that, perfect is boring. That's what I tell my kids all the time. But if I did start with the fancy music, holy shit, like, go me. Let me say thank you to Courtney from 2018 for knowing how to save a file and keep it in a place I could find it on my computer. But if I couldn't find it, that's okay, 2018 Courtney, I love you anyway. All right, so I wrote myself some half-assed shitty notes. We're all friends here. Sorry if you're new to the show, I'm a little sweary. The big thought that keeps coming to my mind, first off, I need a sip of my Diet Pepsi. Nathan went on a special run today and acquired soda at Smart and Final. And when he left, he was talking really big. Like he was going to come back with like 50 bottles of soda. And he came back with 17, which was apparently all the diet soda they had at Smart and Final. And I'm great with Diet Pepsi, but he is more of a Diet Coke guy. So that's his cross to bear, but I'll enjoy some Diet Pepsi. All right. Anyway, I keep thinking about the risk factors for postpartum depression. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them. There are many, but some of them include, it's just amazing when you think about the risk factors, how I feel like everyone right now who's giving birth and having babies is at a heightened risk for postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is the most common complication of pregnancy. I've seen some stats like, oh, just 1 out of 10. Well, 1 out of 10 is 10%. Like, if you told me, like, when I go to, like, let's say Disneyland, and there was, like, there's a 1 out of 10 chance that you're going to die on Space Mountain, I'm going to say, well, fuck that shit. I'm going to go ride the teacups. I'm not riding Space Mountain today. So, but we all go in and have our kids, and we hope for the best. But 1 out of 10, that's a high amount. I've seen the 1 out of 7 and 1 out of 5, and I've seen convincing arguments for 1 out of 5. So, it's a very, very common to get a mood disorder after having a child, whether it's your first child or your 10th child or anywhere in between. It's just very common. And now we're adding pandemic to the stew, and holy shit, I just feel like that doesn't mean everyone's going to get a mood disorder, but I think we're all a little extra tender and raw these days, so the risk is a little more heightened. And that's okay, guys. I mean, it's not okay that there's a pandemic. It's not okay that you're at a heightened risk. But if you feel a little less than euphoric, if you're not having the experience you were expecting to have with your baby, if you're feeling a little depressed or a little anxious or very depressed or very anxious, it's okay. It's okay to have a mental illness during this crisis. It's okay at any time in life to have a mental illness. This shit happens. But it's especially now, I want you to know, it's okay to be feeling like shit and to be feeling, you know, all of the, any of the symptoms on that whole spectrum of symptoms that you might have keep wanting to say maternal mood disorder, but parental mood disorder. Any of you having, you know, don't beat yourself up if you're feeling depressed. You shouldn't, you know, if someone's listening to this after COVID-19, don't beat yourself up either. But I'm just, I feel like there might be, you know, like a feeling like, well, we're healthy and we don't have corona, so I should be happy and I should be like grateful. And it's okay to feel like shit, all right? It's just, we're all going through a really shitty experience. Like, the whole globe is going through this. And we're watching a natural catastrophe unfold in slow motion with the 24/7 news cycle and social media. There's just so many, like, this is just a brand new experience for species Homo sapiens. And it's okay if your mental health is a little less than perfect or is very, very... Or if you're in crisis, it's okay. Like, you know, whatever anyone is saying to you in your life right now, you know, anyone who's telling you, like, stiff upper lip, buck up, like, you know, I have all these expletives I could say, but I've probably already cursed enough for one episode. So anyway, it's okay if you're struggling right now or at any time. So some of the risk factors for postpartum depression include a traumatic birth experience. Look, I've heard that if you think your birth experience was traumatic, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. If it was traumatic for you, then it's traumatic and you're at risk. And I would wager that for most moms giving birth during the freaking pandemic, the word traumatic is probably very apt because it's got to be scary as fuck to go into a hospital right now and give birth. When you know that there's probably patients in that hospital with the coronavirus and your little tender baby is just, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, me and my husband are being extra hard on the kids when they're doing something a little wild I mean, Julian should have like a frequent flyer card for our local urgent care center, because of I can't even I've lost track. I mean, we've been there at least four times for like stitches and bumps and like hitting the back of his head and getting it cut. So we had to go in for concussion check and making sure it was like clean the right way because his hair's in the way. I think his m most recent one, I forget. But wait, it was around Thanksgiving. Oh yeah, it was the week before Thanksgiving because I had to take him into urgent care to get his stitches removed because ordinarily his pediatrician would have done it, but it was Thanksgiving weekend when it was time to get the stitches out. And what did he even do? Oh God, the little asshole. Yeah, I call my kids asshole sometimes. It's okay. I'm still a really good mom and I love my kids and I adore them, but sometimes just to vent, I need to refer to them as assholes. So anyway, the little asshole was crawling around like a baby and slipped and like split his chin open while crawling like a baby. Like, for fuck's sake. And so me and Nathan are a little on edge because we would rather not have to bring them into the hospital for like a broken bone right now. It's just suboptimal timing. And if you have a newborn, that has to be even more stressful when you have to go to the freaking hospital to give birth. I am so sorry. So you're already like, boom, right there. Giving birth during a pandemic, fucking traumatic birth experience. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The cursing's just not going to stop because these days I'm doing all the cursing as I'm actually doing very well. Mental health wise during all this, but I have a lot of self-care strategies in place and I don't have a newborn. I'm not good at newborns. I'm so glad that I'm going through this experience with a 7-year-old and an almost 4.5-year-old who the 7-year-old will read to the 4.5-year-old. Oh my God, newborns don't even, they can't even freaking burp themselves, okay? So, all right, off the bat, pretty much every mom in the world giving birth right now already. If she feels like she had a traumatic birth experience because she's given birth during a pandemic, well, I am not going to argue with her. Another risk factor for postpartum depression, I'm trying not to laugh as I say this, stress. Oh my God. Yeah. So, you guys, look, I mean, in the best of times, people are dealing with all sorts of stress. Like, maybe you have to move houses right before having a baby, and like, you just can't help it. Or maybe someone loses a job, or someone in your family, a loved one in your circle gets sick. Like, there's all sorts of stress that happens just because of life. But oh my God, hello, pandemic. Like, I don't know the next time I'm going to see toilet paper at the store. We got enough toilet paper right now, but we're all at home. And I can't convince my kids to get constipated, so this is interesting. Amazon was like my knight in shining armor, Amazon Prime when I had babies. But right, because it'd be like you'd realize, oh my gosh, we forgot to buy, a formula because breastfeeding's not working, and we had to order formula, and it comes within 2 days. Right now, there's a whole lot of shit that's not shipping for like at least a month. So I'm sorry. I really am. I'm just like, I'm so sorry. My heart just aches for you right now. Another risk factor for postpartum depression, lack of social support. Oh my fucking God. I mean, we're doing social distancing right now. You take a walk in my neighborhood, and if someone's coming down the sidewalk, you have to get in the fucking street to make sure you got that 6 feet of space. What do you, I see all these pictures on BuzzFeed of grandparents looking through windows to meet their new grandchildren. So many of you thought you were going to have, like, mom was going to fly across country, grandma was going to be there to support you for the first week or the first month or something, and now it's not safe for your mom or, your mother-in-law to fly in the airplane, or grandpa, father-in-law, people who would have been bringing over a lasagna, or, just stopping by to meet the baby and hold the baby, and you would get to take a shower and you would just get to have like some human FaceTime. You're not getting that. Like, none of us are getting that right now in California and in many, many states right now. I've lost track of who's under what orders. But my God, I mean, those of you with babies, like, a big advice I'm always giving is to like get the help that you can get, and you're just not even like allowed to right now. And again, I'm so sorry. A big part of my postpartum depression experience was a germ phobia. I was washing my hands. I was washing my breasts before breastfeeding. I was just terrified of going out with Pippa because that, like, especially before she got those first shots, because what if she got sick? And God, like that isolation exasperated. I mean, a lot of my experience, I've had a lot of time to reflect on my postpartum experience. I wrote a whole memoir, and I've even in the year and a half since I finished the podcast, I still think about it. It was one of my landmark moments in my life, one of those milestones. There you go. Not a landmark. A landmark is like the Jefferson Memorial. Postpartum depression is a milestone. Okay. Anyway, so those of you, I don't even know what I was talking about. Germs. I've had a lot of time to think about my postpartum experience, and I think I had a lot of pre-existing anxiety, a lot of like thought patterns and habits that predisposed me. But then I also had my hormones, and my hormones went batshit crazy. So, with Pippa, I had really horrible postpartum depression and anxiety and OCD, and I had to do work with a cognitive behavioral therapist, and I was hospitalized, and I needed Zoloft, and da da da. Julian came around 2 years, 7 months later, and I'd already done so much work to take care of myself, and I still needed Zoloft. I still needed a therapist. I still needed to work with my psychiatrist. And the thing is, for me, the first 3 months, 2.5 months, I was pretty okay, and then suddenly, just it was like a switch flicked, and the insomnia just started, and I had to like my doctor had to bump my Zoloft up from like I think from like 100 to 150 milligrams. Don't take my dose recommendations. Talk to a doctor. And I had to go back on mirtazapine, which I took the generic Remeron, which I did not take when I was pregnant, and which I didn't need for about 2.5 months after Julian was born. But suddenly my hormones just are like crash, and it's like, or maybe it was a surge, I don't know. Whatever, I just didn't matter how many tools I had in place. Once my hormones and body was just like flipped the insomnia switch, I went into the darkness. And I got pulled out of it very quickly the second time. But even with all that I knew from the first time around, I still had it and still needed to be medicated and still needed a therapist's help with the second time go around. And there was no pandemic. So, God, I just wanted you to know that I see you and I'm sending you love and you're not alone. But it's okay if you feel alone because, God, we're all isolated these days. And it's okay if you feel overwhelmed. It's okay to ask for help. In fact, put that, that's what you should do is please do ask for help. I did videoing conferencing with my therapist the week before last, and we have an appointment scheduled for this coming, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'm excited for it. It's better. I like it face to face better, but video, I'm not gonna like opt to do video conferencing and save myself the drive and the $5 for parking in the future. But for now, video conferencing was very helpful for me, and I felt supported, and I felt like I was able to kind of sort through a lot of feelings, and I'm looking forward to this next session. So even if you don't have a therapist in place, there are a lot of therapists are doing video conferencing now, so and all that information is available to them, how to do it, and so that's like an option for you to consider, because your mental health still matters, even during a pandemic, or especially during a pandemic. Your mental health matters. It's not enough that you're washing your hands and that you're social distancing and sheltering at home and keeping yourself physically healthy. You still need your mental health. It's just part of the picture. Okay, a few more thoughts. Expect to accomplish very little. I really wish I could give you the piece of magic bullet advice, and that doesn't exist. I do have, there's a whole bunch of episodes here. And there's other podcasts like Mom and Mind is still in production, and there's if you Google, you'll find resources, and there's still Postpartum Support International. So there are resources out there, and I just wish I could just give you that one piece of advice that was going to make everything okay, but it's a pandemic and there just isn't that one piece of advice. But I do think remember to accomplish that you expect to accomplish very little. I think that's like really true when you have newborns. I would beat myself up like, why am I not doing? I'm a writer. Like, why am I not working on my book? Why am I not able to cook fancy meals? Why am I not, losing all the weight fast? Why am I not, everyone on social media looks like so busy, like they're going to Target, like they're doing all these, Pinterest projects, and their nursery looks so fancy, and like. Don't compare yourself to others. Everyone's doing what works for them, and you just have to like worry about taking care of yourself and doing what works for you. And newborns are very, very time consuming and very, very tough. They do get better. I really think they do. I think there's a very small percentage of the world. I have a theory that we all have our own superpowers. And there's a teeny, tiny, tiniest fraction of a percentage of us, and our superpower is newborns. And so for that really teeny, tiny fraction of you, maybe your children do get harder as they get older because they're not newborns anymore, and newborns are your superpower. Newborns are not my superpower. I get better at my kids every year, really. I feel like when they hit every year, they get significantly easier for me. And there's a lot of people who like to talk about almost pride, you know, be proud of the fact, like, oh, it gets worse. And I think, like, there's ways that it gets emotionally tougher as they get older, you know, in terms of, like they're experiencing their own heartaches and social difficulties and you're feeling for them. But it's not, you're getting enough sleep. They sleep through the night. And they're not like they can burp themselves. They can go into the fridge and get themselves a piece of string cheese. Like I said earlier, Pippa can read a book to Julian. And they play with each other for hours. And yes, they fight, but, like, I mean, I'll take a little fighting for not having to play make-believe with Pippa's Barbies. Like, thank God. I should just be paying Julian, but he does it willingly, so great. So, but anyway, I said expect to accomplish very little, because newborns are very tough and they're very time-consuming. I mean, like I said, you have to freaking burp them. Like, they eventually learn how to burp themselves, and they eventually don't spit up the food that you just spent, like, a half hour feeding to them. But I'm accomplishing very little during a pandemic. I'm beating myself up. Like, you know, first we were calling it, like, for the first week or so, everyone was talking about homeschooling. And now a lot of people have come out, and I'm seeing messages online and letters from school principals about how this is not homeschooling. This is surviving a pandemic. And it's not homeschooling, it's distance learning. And the teachers are as new to this as we are. And they were all given very, very, like, really ridiculously short notice about what to do. And we're all living with this uncertainty of, like, well, we might go back to school on, like, May 4th, but maybe we won't go back to school this school year. We just don't know. And it's just tough for everyone. And it doesn't have to be a competition about who has more stress these days. I sometimes start to think, I find myself, catch my brain going about, like, oh my God, it must be so much easier for so-and-so because blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, just don't. I tell myself, don't do that, because, you know, I'll start to think, oh, it's so much easier to have, like, a baby right now because at least they nap and you get those breaks. I'm like, yeah, but they're a baby, and babies, like, I needed to go to so many places with my babies just so I wouldn't, like, get, like, bored to death. And, you know, my kids, it is easier. It'd be easier if we could go to the zoo and the aquarium. Like, we're usually, you know, we go out several times a week. We go to the park. We go to the playground. My kids are both very sociable. And, but it's just not a competition because, like, everyone has, something is unique about their situation and their circumstances and just even their life story that they're just dealing with shit. And even if it doesn't seem like they're dealing with shit, they are. So just, you know, own your shit and don't try to, like, compete with others. Another tip I have is you have my permission to avoid social media and the news. I know you might feel like, well, there's a pandemic going on and you need to, like, check in a little with the news, and that's fine. But it's probably, I've found for myself, especially when I have newborns, and even now, that the news is just a bit of a downer, and that there's only, like, so many headlines that you need to hear at a time. And I'll check in with the headlines now once or twice a day. I was checking in with them more 2 weeks ago when it was kind of like, is school going to close down and how long, and, you know, but now it's sort of like I know my husband's checking more often, so, you know, fuck it. He can check the news, and then he'll kind of report to me and give me, like, the synopsis, and then I avoid the stress. You know, there's a lot of fear out there, and I don't need to, like, just be absorbing other people's fear. And so that's a tip I have. I wish I had, like, a whole list of, like, you know, the top 10 things to do during a pandemic when you have a newborn. and hopefully, you know, maybe someone's written that blog post already, but like, shit, we don't know. This is really, really new, and we're all uncomfortable with it, and it's a little scary, and we don't know, is this going to be like another, you know, like it's supposed to hit 80 here in Pasadena in like less than a week. And I've heard the virus doesn't survive in temperatures over like 73 degrees. So, I mean, we might have like a real like nice start getting some positive news in the next couple of weeks in Pasadena, and that'd be great. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. And I literally don't know. Like, I don't know if my kids are even gonna get to go to summer camp. I don't know if we're gonna get to go to Nebraska this summer to visit Nathan's family. There's just so many I don't knows. And so, and there's like, I don't have time right now to like walk you through the past year and a half of my life, but I had a lot of things that like happened, and I kind of that kind of prepared that gave me some resilience. So I'm feeling very lucky, but I think a lot like this is like after I about 6 months after I ended the podcast, Julian's preschool got contaminated with asbestos and had to shut down. Right around this time, like it was literally like the Monday after spring break at the end of March, we came back to school. I was driving my kids to school and the phone rang and it was a teacher. And she's like, there were some issues with the roof repairs and we're not having school today. And then it turned out it unfolded slowly over the week that the roof had been broken. And so they had been ha broken roof. It had been leaking and it just, they couldn't wait till summer to fix. So over spring break, the landlord had arranged to have the roof repaired, but the people who repaired the roof loosened up some asbestos and the whole preschool got contaminated. So we had to shut down. We didn't reopen until mid-September. So I lived with so much uncertainty. I can't even, it was just, it was mind-boggling. And then, in the fall, like I get Julian back into school and like less than a week later we found out that the Pasadena School District was closing down a few was closing several schools including several elementary schools because enrollment's been declining and that my Pippa school was one of the schools being considered for closure. And it was just like I just went through not knowing if Julian's preschool was even going to have enough money to come back and when they were going to come back. And I had him enrolled at another place just in case. And I, you know, had gone through all of this. And now suddenly we had to live for several weeks with not knowing how the school board would hash things out. And they kept Pippa school open, yay. But so those two big events. And then, you know, I hate to talk about this on a postpartum depression show, but a little girl at Pippa's camp drowned last summer. And it was heartbreaking. It was a little 6-year-old girl going into first grade, and Pippa was at the time a 6-year-old girl going into first grade. And Pippa fortunately was not there. And but it was heartbreaking. I mean, I cried so much for months because I just really, and I still do really feel for those parents. And it's something I do think about that lately. My challenges that I face all come from my blessings. I don't know if that'll help any of you. If you have a mental illness, such as postpartum depression, when I had postpartum depression, pretty little platitudes did not help me much. Like if someone told me just breathe slowly when you feel yourself freaking out, I would have said my basic thought, I sort of nodded and smiled, but inside I was like, fuck you. Like breathing did not help me. My gratitude practice, like all these things that help me now and have me in this great place and are keeping me strong. As we go into week three of sheltering at home, I don't know if it's officially week three of sheltering home. It's week three with Nathan working at home and Pippa having, and my kids having no school. But anyway, all of those things I do now, they were not helpful for me when I was in postpartum crisis. And that's the big reason why I ended the podcast because I think some people are very good at taking their postpartum depression experience and continuing to help people and coach people or become a therapist, or they, you know, were a therapist and they can counsel people, and that's something that they're able to do. I think I'm a sort of a storyteller who likes to kind of like I connect with people who are struggling with my current issues, that I share my journey and where I am right now, I don't think is very helpful for someone who's in crisis. So I don't want to like go into all of my current self-help tools because I don't want to piss you off, those of you who are listening who have depression, anxiety, and you know, all the shit that you might have to deal with right now. I really just recorded this episode just as a like a holy shit, I love you and I see you, and I can't believe you're, you know, possibly dealing with postpartum mental health issues during this global crisis. So, but the thought I do have, in case this helps one of you, I'll share it, is when I feel kind of like I'm an introvert and I'm a writer and I need time alone and I need time to like exercise. And, I have not been getting enough time to write for like the past year and a half or 2 years, really, since Julian started preschool, because he started preschool and he stopped napping. And so he's only like this current year have been at a 3 day a week program. And so 2 days a week, I just wasn't like, I'd have a full day a week with him. And then Mondays, the kids get out of school a little after lunch. I just felt like between all the things that I need to do just to like run our house, you know, like groceries and going to Target and, you know, all the little bullshit that goes into running home. And then just like taking care of my health, like going to the dentist and going to see my therapist. Just between all of that and then exercising, because exercise is really important to me now. I wasn't exercising that much when I had postpartum depression with Pippa. You got to do what your body can do. I still wasn't getting enough time to write. And I was kind of like hanging on and being like, look, Julian starting this summer or whenever, you know, school reopens, will be 5 days a week in a pre-K program at his preschool. And I feel like at that point, I'll be able to kind of breathe and be like, and I'll be like, right now I have to, he's at a co-op, so I have to volunteer once every 2 weeks. So even though he's going to school 6 days a week, every 2 weeks, one of those days I'm volunteering. So it's really just not enough, because it's kind of feels relentless, because Pippa is in first grade and she very much likes having me involved and I like being involved in first school. So I'm sort of torn between two schools. And anyway, I don't feel like I have enough time for my writing or, you know, and now suddenly my kids are at home and they need me. And they need me a lot. And my husband's working. And we're all, and I'm an introvert, and we're all in this house together. And, but my challenges right now in this stage of my life come from my blessings. Because my children are here, they're alive, and they're healthy. And the little girl who drowned, her name's Roxy. And I think about Roxy's parents, and she was an only child. And I just think about how they would do anything to be stuck at home with their daughter during a pandemic. They would do anything to be doing homeschooling or distance learning or whatever you want to call it. And so that gives me, you know, that always kind of gives me like a little, like, okay, I can do this because it's like, it's worth doing for my kids. But I kind of feel shitty having shared all of that. I almost want to go back and delete it, but that's just where I am. You know, maybe it's going to help one of you with your struggles. It's crazy how we all need to hear different things at different times. But you can and will make a full recovery even during a pandemic. It's not going to last forever. It feels that way. Like, I know a lot of people who it kind of feels like real life was like 3 weeks ago, life was normal. And now it's like very upended and we don't know when it's going to go back to normal, but it will go back to the life we know and we will get through this. And you will be able to take care of your mental health and prioritize it. And you should, even during a pandemic, your mental health matters. It's hard to sign off because I just want to keep talking in case it's comforting on any of you. But I just want you to know that you're seen and heard. My website for this podcast died. I don't know what happened to it. I don't have enough. I couldn't figure it out. So I don't have that website anymore. I do have a website called CourtneyHenningNovak.com. That's Courtney, H-E-N-N-I-N-G, Novak, N-O-V-A-K.com. And I've been blogging there. I wasn't blogging much, and then the pandemic started, and now I find that blogging is really good for my mental health. So I'm doing that and almost every day. Instagram, I post most days. Instagram is at Courtney.Novak. And I cannot figure out how to access my email anymore. Like, I think it was, I don't know. So I can't check my old email. But so I started a new account today, ppdadventures@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you and how you're doing during all this craziness. And I might be starting another podcast soon, and if I do, I'll post a little quick update here about that. Postpartum depression is just an incredibly lonely and isolating experience, especially right now, in March 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic, but at any time, you're not alone. You're in really good company. There are just thousands and thousands of women who have gone through this before you and made it through, and you can do it too, with help and support. You don't have to do this alone. Do this, you get all the help you need. But you can do this, and you will do this, and this crazy pandemic will end. I love you, and I hope you can do your best to take care of yourself one day at a time.